You are listening to The Secrets of Once Upon a Time on SQPN.com, the StarQuest production network, leading the way. This episode is brought to you by Bluehost. Create your own website or blog with a .com domain name for just $6.95 per month. Go to SQPN.com and click on the Bluehost banner for more information. And by the Amazon Store. Shop at Amazon by clicking on our Amazon link at SQPN.com, and your purchase will help support our show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, that brand new, fascinating television series about fairy tales and fairy tales moving over to the real world and all that it entails. Joining me today to talk about episode 3 of Once Upon a Time, called Snow Falls, are the usual suspects. First of all, Lisa Jones, blogger and now also podcaster. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Father.
How are you doing? You told me before we started recording that this was your favorite episode till now.
It was. I really, really liked it.
What did you like most about it?
I think that Snow White, for me, had always been kind of a quiet and meek, one of my least favorite Disney, you know, princesses. And this, they just gave her a whole spin and backstory that I just really, really liked to see her go out there and, you know, how they met.
It was definitely a different Snow White than the one that we know from the fairy tales.
It was.
Very surprising. Also joining us today is David Handless, the co-host of The Secrets of Tintin, and now also co-host of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Hi, David. How's life in the U.S.?
Always good. A little cold right now.
A little cold. Yeah, it's turning into fairy tale weather. Soon we will have snow, and then everything will be magical.
I shouldn't tell you, it's 85 here today.
Oh, yes, of course. Texas. Well, Texas. That's a special different. That's a different type of magical place in a world.
Right.
David, what did you think of this episode?
I really liked it too, for similar reasons, not just Snow White, but Prince Charming, or what Snow White calls him, Charming. Just this one fleshed out both of them, fleshed out some of the other characters too. So it started adding some backstory instead of building up on just Emma.
Absolutely. And there were lots and lots of Easter eggs and hidden references. And there is a lot of material to speculate about. And that is what's going to be the meat of this episode. We had some reactions on our first two episodes, and some people were thinking we spent a little bit too much time in recapping the episode, which is something, of course, that everybody knows the story. Everybody has seen the episode, and there are many recaps on the internet as well. So I will try, but again, we're still new to this. So this is just episode 3, so we hope to improve the show over time. But we will try to spend more time in trying to go more in depth when it comes to the themes and the characters in this episode. So we'll begin with our theories about this episode of Once Upon a Time, Snow Falls. Well, the episode starts in fairy tale land, and we see a deer, actually. A deer in the headlights, but there were no headlights at the time. and then the deer is scared away by the arrival of a white carriage, a horse and carriage. And it carries two lovers. One of them is Prince Charming, and we already met him. And we just assume that the other person is going to be his lovely fiancée or wife, Snow White. But wow, what a surprise. It's someone totally different. It's this princess, this blonde princess. And I looked it up on IMDb, and her name in the credits is just Regal Blonde. Now, I don't think that there's a fairy tale featuring a random Regal Blonde. Do you have any theories from what fairy tale this princess could be? Silence. Crickets. Yeah. Crickets. Crickets. No idea.
Actually, no, I know.
She's the one blank spot. She's the one blank spot for me right now. My first thought was, is this one of Cinderella's wicked stepsisters or something? But I couldn't. But those two were supposed to be not just mean but unattractive too. So mm-hmm. I was like, that's probably not them.
She doesn't seem to be very sympathetic. She's a little bit picky, and she's complaining about because they're taking the scenic route, basically. And she's like, oh, why didn't we just take the highway? And then this road is bumpy. And we already know that Prince Charming will end up with Snow White. And she was very sympathetic. And this princess just, you're like, come on. But I have a theory. And I think, actually, it's more than a theory. I have some proof that I think I know who this princess is. And I don't know if we'll see this, if this will ever be revealed, or if it's just something that the writers are hinting at. But here's my theory. I've not seen this anywhere else on the web, so I might be the first one who found some clues as to the identity of this regal blonde. I think she is the princess of a fairy tale that is not very well known. It's never been a Disney movie, but it was one of the stories that was part of the big fairy tale storybook that was always at my bedside when I was a kid. And it is this famous story of the princess and the pea.
Oh.
Do you know that? Do you know that story?
I just thought of that today, that is going to be a great one for them to incorporate later on in the series.
So absolutely. It's a Danish story originally. It was collected by Hans Christian Andersen. He heard the story as a child, and then he reworked that into this fairy tale of the Princess and the Pea. It's a very short, simple story, perhaps a little bit too simple to turn it into a Disney movie, although they did a pretty good job with The Princess and the Frog, taking a tiny little story and turning that into a very long Disney animated movie. But here is the recap of that story. And this is from Wikipedia. The story tells of a prince who wants to marry a princess, but he is having difficulty finding a suitable wife. That is clue number one. It's about a prince who wants to marry a princess. In this episode of Snow Falls, they're not yet married. There's the intention to marry. Something is always wrong with those he meets, and he cannot be certain they are real princesses. So apparently that's kind of a problem in the fairy tale world. You never know. Nobody is really who you think they are. And so a lot of these princesses are fake. One stormy night, always a harbinger of either a life-threatening situation or the opportunity for a romantic alliance in Andersen's stories, a young woman drenched with rain seeks shelter in the prince's castle. She claims to be a princess, so the prince's mother decides to test their unexpected guest by placing a pea in the bed she is offered for the night, covered by 20 mattresses and 20 feather beds. And there's this beautiful illustration in many of these children's books of this. I remember this from my youth, where you have this enormous bed, and it's just a tower of mattresses, and then right on top of that, all those fluffy mattresses, there is this tiny little blonde-haired princess. And in the morning, the guest tells her host, so the princess tells the mother of the prince and the prince himself, that she endured a sleepless night, kept awake by something hard in the bed, which she is certain has bruised her. And the prince rejoices, because only a real princess would have the sensitivity to feel a pea through such a quantity of bedding. The two are married, and the pea is placed in the Royal Museum. So I was like, this regal blonde that we see in Snow Falls, she's really whiny, and she's complaining all the time. When I heard that story as a kid, this princess was always presented to us as a symbol of spoiled brats, basically. How can you complain of a tiny little pea when it's covered with 20 or 40 fluffy mattresses? And so here are the clues in this episode. She doesn't like the prince. The first question he asks her is, do you like the view? And I'm thinking, and this might be a little bit far-fetched. Perhaps some people were like, you know, ah, come on. But I was like, imagine that princess on top of those 40 mattresses looking down. You must have a great view of the rest of the resort. How is the view from up there? I don't know. This might be a little bit far-fetched, but there is more. There is more. She complains that the road is bumpy. Like, that is like the bump in her bed. And later on, when we see the real-life version or the storybook version of this princess, she's called Catherine, she says, you know, there, I was always difficult. Again, affirming that whiny character that she has, which matches, I think, the princess in The Princess and the Pea. However, here is the true revelation. I think the proof that this must be the princess from The Princess and the Pea. And it's given to us right at the end. When John Doe / David is in the hospital and he has just woken up from his coma, we have this Catherine entering the hospital and she's like, oh my goodness, David, what happened to you? Blah, blah, blah. And we learn from Regina Mills, that is actually his wife. It's a shocking moment, especially for Mary Margaret. And so we learn that her name is Catherine. Catherine, always, names are always full of meaning. And so I had to look it up. Catherine is originally from the Greek word katharos, and it means pure. Again, might be a little bit far-fetched, but I'm thinking this prince in the fairy tale of The Princess and the Pea was looking for a true princess, a real princess, a pure princess. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Then, of course, we've got Catherine of Alexandria, one of the early Christian martyrs, a noble, regal person. So that kind of fitting as a name for a princess. But then here is the detail. And I made a freeze frame to put it on our website just to prove my point. She has a necklace. And the camera shows us at one point a close-up of her. And she has this necklace. And it's just a very simple necklace. And what is the thing on the necklace? It's a silver pea. I am not kidding you. It is a tiny little round circular pea.
Wow.
And that is why I was like, that has to be her.
I totally missed that.
I made a screen cap because I know that some people are now yelling at their iPod or computers like, come on, move on. This show is bogus. All these far-fetched theories. But I'll tell you, this is my big theory of the day. I think that must be the Princess of the Pea. Everything matches so far. Okay. Anyway, she is apparently they're heading to, I don't know, to a castle, probably. And the prince has jewels with him and a ring that belonged to his mom. And they're being robbed. There is this mysterious hooded person that jumps on the carriage, horse and carriage, and steals the stuff. And there is a pursuit by Prince Charming. And it turns out that the person who stole all that stuff was Snow White. Big surprise. She is totally not the Snow White that we know. She's kind of this Robin Hood type of character. There's been a lot of speculation on the web as well that the way that she's portrayed in this episode, the way that her character is played, is actually very reminiscent of a famous character in Lost, which was also created by some of the writers that are now writing for Once Upon a Time. She is very reminiscent of Kate. Kate was also kind of this, at least in the first few seasons, this almost fairy tale princess type of character, and you think she's ultra sweet, and then it turns out she is being pursued for burning down the house of her father, I think, or what was it again?
I think it was her stepfather.
Her stepfather, and so she's wanted for murder, and there's even a scene in which she's captured in a net, and it looks almost the same as what we see here, where Prince Charming captures her in a similar net, and so and then of course there's later on in the fourth episode. Wait a second. That's something totally different. That was Emma and Ashley. But there are more Lost references also. Anyway, back to Snow White. very much reminiscent of Kate from Lost. She lives in a hollowed tree trunk. I thought that was a nice detail because mm-hmm. that is so typical fairy tale stuff.
Well, and then that's where she's supposed to go when they put baby Emma, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The hollowed out tree. So I thought that was right. A nice
absolutely, touch absolutely. Now this is not the same tree, is it?
I wouldn't think so.
No, because the other one was solid, and they had to remember Geppetto had to carve it out.
Yeah.
And make it.
But anyway, it's interesting that is her home. I don't know where they got that from or why she's living there, because that's also we know that Snow White. Originally, at least in the fairy tale, she's also a royal character. And wasn't she adopted by the Evil Queen? Or I'm a little bit fuzzy on that.
The Evil Queen, I thought, was her stepmother.
Evil stepmother.
The original story was that the Evil Queen married Snow White's father. The father died, and then the Evil Queen took over.
Yeah. And so in this version, in Snow Falls, we don't know what happened to Snow White yet. We know we have a few elements of the puzzle. We know that she has done something, or at least she's accused of having done something to the queen, because the queen hates her, and actually she's been the catalyst, I think, of this whole curse and what happens to the fairy tale world.
Well, and the poster, the wanted poster, said she was wanted for murder, treason, and what was it, treachery? Was that the third one?
Crimes against the queen. Or was that mm-hmm. the category?
And then, I don't know. I remember it saying murder because I was thinking, and then she says they're lies. But mm-hmm. he said, did you really destroy her life? And she says, yes. So that makes you think there is something that Snow White did, whether or not it was intentionally bad or not. But
definitely something happened between. But we don't know exactly why, and that could be the reason why she's living in the forest in a tree.
She mentioned the queen had already sent the huntsman to cut out her heart. So it's almost like this episode is between, the huntsman chasing her, trying to cut out her heart, and then her finding the seven dwarfs.
She hasn't mentioned the
dwarfs yet, but we know she finds them because of the very first scene of the whole series where she's laying in the glass box, with them around her.
But wasn't she hiding in that hollow out tree with the help of the huntsman or the woodsman?
You think so?
I'm trying to go back through my notes, but I thought that she mentioned that she was hiding out there with help, like the help of the huntsman or woodsman or something like that.
Oh, I missed that. I should go back and rewatch the episode for the fourth time.
I remember she mentioned something about, that he didn't kill her, but he mentioned something like there was a redemptive quality in the huntsman that he couldn't do it and that's how it is in the.
Ooh, let's keep that in mind, because I have a theory about the huntsman as well and about his name in the real world.
I'm starting to agree with you about who the huntsman is.
Right.
Anyway. We'll get to there. We'll get to that. But first, there is the trap. And then she's captured. And we learn that she's wanted. But again, what did she do? Who did she murder? Did she murder someone? What's the crime? We don't know it. Then in the real world, I'm a little bit fuzzy, but I think they discover Prince Charming, or at least the guy who looks exactly like Prince Charming, and he is in a coma.
Mm-hmm. Henry sees him and recognizes the scar, and
there
that he looks
go.
Like the man in the book.
Yeah, it's the same scar that Snow White gave him, actually, in the forest
mm-hmm.
during their battle. And so, Henry seems to know exactly who is who and what needs to happen to awake this guy from his coma. And he tells Margaret, just read the story to him, and he'll remember who he is, and perhaps that will help. And so, you see that he reacts to the story and grabs Margaret's hand, and that's a sign that something happened. But then afterwards, the doctor is like, "Nah, I don't see anything." Turns out that the doctor, who was actually, did you notice that? He was the date.
Yes.
He had that date in the beginning of the episode with Mary Margaret and looking at Ruby's let's say, lower parts. really nasty person. And that fits his role because apparently he is working for Regina Mills, for the mayor, and immediately calls her and says, I saw brain activity during that when Margaret was reading that story. Mm-hmm. So and Regina looks very concerned, very worried about that.
Can we assume that he is... If we're trying to say who people are, that he would be Doc from the Seven Dwarfs.
That's where I was going too. I mean, at first I was kind of hesitant because he seems to be working for Regina, but at the same time, Jiminy Cricket's working for her too. So I just assume that everyone's working for her out of fear.
Oh,
have a relationship with Mary Margaret, or at least a pseudo one. If they went on a date, you know, Doc wasn't Doc always the, at least the portrayal I'm thinking of Disney, but you know. The one who brought Snow White in and said to stay with us and kind of took care of her.
Yeah, he was kind of the leader of the group.
But he was also very shy, wasn't he the one who turns totally red when he gets a kiss by Snow White?
That's Dopey.
Oh, that's Dopey.
Dopey.
Oh, sorry. I need to brush up on my Disney.
Starts with a D.
And I'm one of the hosts of The Secrets of Disney. I can't believe that I don't know this stuff. Oh, well. Back to school. But that would be interesting if it's indeed, because we wonder with every character that is introduced to us, you know, what's his fairy tale counterpart. So your theory right now is that he's Doc.
Yes.
And there were the two security guards, aren't they? Also, one would be Sleepy, the one who fell asleep all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely. And the other one is Grumpy.
Grumpy, yes.
We know that for sure, actually. I think that has been confirmed. I didn't catch it when I was watching the episode for the first time, but then later on I read up on the web and I was like, oh, of course. that makes so much sense. But then later on, Prince Charming, or in this case, John Doe, that's how they call him, is gone. And he apparently... went through a door that leads straight into the forest, and Emma and Mary Margaret, and I think also does Henry go with him? I think so.
And yep. And pops up later.
And then Graham, they go into the woods looking for John Doe, and Graham seems to be at ease in the forest and says, you know, at one point. When they lose the trail, he says, this is my world. I got it. Now, we've been speculating on the web, and I've been posting a few episodes, articles on our website, which is onceuponatime.sqpn.com, about, you know, who exactly is Graham. And there were a few different theories. And let me just go to that blog post real quickly and tell you. And these were not just my theories, but this was stuff that was discussed in various places on the web. So onceuponatime.sqpn.com. And there were actually three theories about his identity, his fairy tale identity, because we still don't know exactly who he is. There will be an episode that will feature him, I think. One of the future episodes will have him as a main character. So I'm pretty sure that we'll learn more about him and probably discover who he is in fairy tale land. But according to, and this was kind of a minor theory, some people said he's the wolf from the story of Red Riding Hood.
And I did read that.
I was like, nah, I don't see any indication. And it seems weird that an animal in the fairy tale world would turn into a person in the real world. Wait a second, Jiminy Cricket was an animal. So that doesn't work. But anyway, I don't think he's a wolf. It's perhaps because he's vaguely reminiscent of Hugh Jackman, you know, from Wolverine. That's perhaps why he has the same beard. So perhaps people are thinking, oh, must be a wolf. But the bigger theories were he is the Sheriff of Nottingham from Robin Hood. Now, seems a bit far-fetched because, of course, Robin Hood is not really a fairy tale. It's more of a legend, and there might be some historical evidence even that the guy even existed, really existed. But Robin Hood was turned into a fairy tale by Disney, more or less. And so that could legitimize the appearance of the Sheriff of Nottingham in this series, because of course ABC owns Disney, or vice versa. I never know exactly, but anyway, they're in cahoots with Disney. But the arguments that the proponents of this theory bring forth is that the task of Nottingham's sheriff was to capture outlaws such as Robin Hood and to ensure the safety of trade routes through Sherwood Forest. And so that kind of is true for Graham as well. He is constantly arresting Emma for being an outlaw, and he tries to find his way through the forest, but he's not very good at it. In the story of Robin Hood, the sheriff is kind of a cowardly schemer, and he's definitely a bad guy. Now, we don't know for sure, but it's pretty obvious that Sheriff Graham is in cahoots with Regina Mills, and we'll discover in the next episode even more about their relationship. But that kind of matches with the Sheriff of Nottingham. And then there's also the name Graham. It ends with it starts with a G and it ends with H A M, just like the last four letters of Nottingham. So, but I think there is a better theory about his identity, and that is that, of course, he is the huntsman from Snow White. The original role of the huntsman in the fairy tale was, we know the story of Snow White. The queen is jealous of Snow White's beauty, orders the huntsman to take Snow White into the woods to be killed, and as a proof of him killing Snow White, he should return, not with her heart. It's interesting that this episode has the three knights, the dark knights that work for the evil queen. They want to cut out her heart, but in the original story, he had to return with her lungs and her liver. Really scary. And so, in the original fairy tale, he takes Snow White into the forest, raises his knife to stab her, and then he is like, oh, I can't kill her, because he actually fell in love with her. And so he lets her go, and he brings the queen the lungs and the liver of a boar. And then the queen cooks and eats the liver and the lungs, which is apparently thinking that it was Snow White stuff. Yeah, fairy tales didn't used to be children's tales in the past. There are a few elements in here. We know that Graham is working for, or at least working with, the evil queen, with Regina Mills. He says in this episode, you know, the forest, that is kind of my world. I got it. Kind of works. Here is something else about his name. Graham is a Scottish. Is it Celtic or Celtic? I never know. Celtic.
I think it's Celtic, unless you're in Boston.
Yeah, one has to do with sports, and the other one is not. Forgive me, I'm Dutch, so I'm a bit confused. So Graham in Scottish means abode, dwelling place, or gravel area. But it can also mean from the gray lands. And so there's the color gray in his name. And so I'm thinking, that's interesting, because he is kind of a gray character in this episode. We don't know if he... I mean, he seems to be kind, friendly, but then he hangs out with Regina Mills all the time. So is he totally evil? He doesn't really seem like a very bad guy. So he's not black, he's not white. He's kind of in between. He's gray. And I think that he is sent by Regina to find John Doe, to find Prince Charming. So that mimics kind of the huntsman getting his orders from the queen. And then, of course, we know that in the original fairy tale, he ultimately disobeys the queen and doesn't kill Snow White. So there too, you know, he was a bad guy, but he still has a good heart. And so also a bit of a gray character. And I don't know about you two, but I feel that I think that Graham must be the huntsman.
I would agree.
That's what I'm leaning towards too at this point.
He works for Regina, but at the same time, he seems to have a he seems to have a soft spot, not just for, you know, Snow White in her mortal form, but also for her daughter too. So
yeah,
he's like you said, he's kind of gray. He works for the queen probably because he has to.
Or perhaps she put a spell on him. Who knows? We don't know if Regina has any magical powers in the real world, but it could very well be. Who knows? But or perhaps the spell is just a metaphor for her kind of vamp-like behavior. I mean, she eats man for breakfast. Anyway, we go back to Snow White and Prince Charming. And there's this incident with the fairy dust. Snow White has this pendant, and it contains fairy dust. And she warns Prince Charming, like, be careful with it, because it's fairy dust. And he's like, well, isn't that supposed to be good stuff? Of course, we know fairy dust from stories like Peter Pan, and it makes, you know, it enables you to fly, and it's good stuff. The fairies in multiple Disney fairy tales use fairy dust to turn pumpkins into, you know, beautiful horse and carriages and everything. Snow White specifies this is, you know, the good fairy dust is from a good fairy, and this is a deadly weapon, implying that she got this from a bad fairy. And so I was wondering, how did she get it? Where did she get it? Did she steal this? Did she strike a deal with a bad fairy? Who is this bad fairy?
Sounds like a whole other episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I just keep wondering. I was like, how did Snow White get that bad fairy stuff? I mean, because it's pretty lethal, as we see later on in their encounter with the trolls.
And does it have anything to do with the reason that the queen, the evil queen, you know, is out to get her? I mean, did she make some sort of deal and do something? And that's why the evil queen wants her heart.
Could be. Or perhaps she used that fairy dust on someone special to the queen.
Sure.
And then the queen accidentally stepped on whatever that person became. Right. Who knows? I don't know. I think there's more to this. But
Did you not love that they made them little roaches? Well, not little, but they made them bugs.
That was so funny.
And when they turned into bugs, they were upside down. Which I thought was just, so they weren't scurrying around.
They were on their backs.
And we have roaches, and those are big issues. I don't know. I just love that they became roaches.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, they're on their back because they're turned harmless. That's what evil fairy dust does. It's just, I wonder if we'll see the real world equivalent of fairy dust in the form of some kind of rodent. And, you know, like a company who comes with all this poison to, you know, to kill the rodents in your, or the insects in your kitchen.
And what are the fairies in the real world? Because we saw the blue fairy, and now we know there's an evil fairy. So who are they in Storybrooke? That'll be interesting.
You know, this first season has 22 episodes already commissioned. So I guess we'll find out this season. They've got plenty of time.
I don't have time to find out this season. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to keep in mind that these are the creators of Lost, so we might only find out in 5 years from now.
Or we might never find out, and it was all...
Oh, true. It was all a dream. Oh, no. It was all a fairy tale. we see the real Henry close the book, and then it turns out that the real Henry was reading the story about the TV Henry reading the story. Ugh.
Yeah.
Like Inception. In fairy tale land.
Or even weirder, this whole TV show would have been a dream that Snow White would have while she was waiting for Prince Charming to wake her up.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Who knows?
That may be a little too much.
We're just, let's not go ahead of ourselves.
True.
So Snow White defends her reputation. She says, the charges are false. I steal, this is another interesting thing. I don't know if our listeners have noticed this, but she says, I steal because I'm amassing a fortune to escape to another realm where the evil queen can never hurt me again. And I was like, wait a minute. This is before the evil curse. This is before the magic tree. This is before she even got pregnant. How does she know that there is another realm? How does she know that there's another reality?
And just realm, but could realm just mean like kingdom? I mean, is that just another word for, but I would assume kingdom,
perhaps.
They go all in between because you have all these queens and princes and princes, and, you know.
Yeah, it could be just another area of fairy tale land. I don't know. But of course it implies this other world. It implies the real world or something like that. I was like, does Snow White know more about this whole curse? Or did she anticipate it? Baffling. I don't know. I'm very puzzled by this remark. And then why did she need that money and fortune? And she steals the jewels. She also steals the ring. And of course that was later on, the ring with which she marries Prince Charming, I assume. So she gathers that for the other realm, where she wants to escape the evil queen. And did you notice at the end of the episode, when Mary Margaret is all upset about, well, I don't know if she's upset. She's probably just sad that, what's his name, David, has been reunited with his wife. She is sitting on the steps,
mm-hmm.
I think on the staircase of her house or somewhere, and she's playing with a ring. And the ring has a green jewel in it. It's the same ring. It's a fairy tale ring. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I noticed that. I had to rewind it and check it out. But I did notice that it was the same ring.
And I think it's the first time that we see actually an object from the fairy tale world in the real world, in Storybrooke. I wonder if there are more objects or things that have been transferred over.
Gives us more to look at.
I don't know. And who is Prince Charming's mom? Because it was his mom's ring. And what's the story about his mom? I don't know. Perhaps I'm just trying to. I'm speculating too much. But I wonder if we see the childhood of Prince Charming.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, it just leads you to, you know, what backstory are they going to give them next? Because it just opens so many more doors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just, between the ring and the fact that John Doe was, you know, was the one who was asleep this time,
mm-hmm.
kind of gave me the perception that, you know, everything you know about the stories are going to be kind of put in reverse, because this time the prince was asleep and not Snow White. This
True.
Time she has the ring, he doesn't.
True. True.
How you know? Let's say, what else is going to go backwards? So I mean, the prince isn't here to save the day. It's the princess or the princess daughter, or yeah. You know, so it's to me that signal that this is going to be a little bit different than what most people would expect.
I want to take some time for another wacky theory. Can I do one more?
Sure.
Here is, and this is kind of a big overarching theory for perhaps the whole season or beyond that. I don't know. But hey, again, this is the writers of Lost. And I'm kind of in this mode. When I watch this series, I'm thinking big. I'm thinking long story arcs. Mm. And we've seen with Lost that sometimes a character has a secret that sometimes is carried through several seasons before it's revealed. Now, hear me out. There is this situation where Snow White hints at knowing something about this other realm. She's gathering treasures so she'll be able to survive in that other reality where she will be safe from the evil queen. And apparently that is possible. It's possible to take something from the fairy tale world, take it with you in the real world, because we see Mary Margaret playing with that ring, which is the exact same ring. Now, we also have discovered that Snow White in the fairy tale world is out of character. Literally, it's not the Snow White that we expect in fairy tale land. And that is, and I say this out of character, because a lot of the other fairy tale characters that we've seen so far in the fairy tale world are very much like the characters that we know from the fairy tales and from the Disney movies. They behave exactly as expected. The dwarves are dwarves. They behave like dwarves. We've got the evil queen. She is a true evil queen. She behaves like an evil queen. She does nothing out of character. Nor does Prince Charming, in a way. He's just charming, and he's, you know, saving her and saving the damsel in distress. The only character that sticks out as a sore thumb is Snow White. It's like, doesn't make sense. And then we've gotten to know Mary Margaret in the real world. And Mary Margaret seems to be too good to be true for the real world. It's like this is so, it's almost improbable that someone is like that. So naive, so all goodness. I mean, the way she reacts to the fact that her Prince Charming there in the hospital turns out to be married. And instead of being angry or mad or whatever, frustrated, or trying to conquer this guy and take him away, or I don't know, conquer his heart, she's all like, oh, but I'm so happy for you. And then she's just sad in her little corner. I'm thinking it's almost as if the Snow White in the real world is a fairy tale character that has been placed in the wrong reality. Now, here is my wacky theory. And again, shoot me down for this. I know this is far-fetched and it's ridiculous. And, you know, 90% of our audience are now going over to iTunes and saying, this podcast is really, don't listen to it. It's terrible. But anyway, here's my theory. And you can laugh at me two seasons from now when it's all really proven to be wrong. But what if Snow White knows about this other reality because she is from the other reality? What if the two have been somehow been switched, and the fairy tale Snow White has ended up in Storybrooke without a memory? And no, wait a second. I think I've found the flaw in my own theory. I'm thinking of parallel universes, but this is not parallel. They're in sequence. Oh my goodness! I have to edit this out. This is ridiculous. But I don't know. Wait, am I just crazy? Could it be that there has been some switcheroo? No, it can't be. Or have they all? No. I think not, because it's happening. The fairy tale world is the world in the past. It's getting so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I just shut down my own theory. Ugh.
I think that's what the writers of Lost do best to us, though, is that they just make us go in circles and circles and circles, and we can't even imagine the craziness that they're going to make reality on the show.
If this was like Fringe, if we were talking about two parallel universes, my theory would be valid, and there had been some kind of like interdimensional mistake, and the two, it's like the what is it, the two characters that in Fringe, they do that all the time. That's why I get confused. I watch too much Fringe. But this is in sequence, and the fairy tale, and whenever we switch back to the fairy tale world, it's the fairy tale world in the past. So there can't be a switch, because the Storybrooke characters have no past. Their past is in the fairy tale world. So there goes my theory. Anyway,
mixing a little sci-fi with the fairy tale.
Let's move on. Listeners, please forget about this theory. It was a mistake. But it is interesting story-wise that they switch these characters around, and I do still believe that Mary Margaret is actually in the wrong. You know, she's so much of a fairy tale character, and why doesn't that happen to the other characters? I don't know. The Queen's Knights, they are threatening to take Snow White's heart out, bring it back to the Queen. Of course, that was the Huntsman's job. Where's the Huntsman in this story? I don't know. Or is this something that the Queen just keeps on doing? Sending knights after Snow White, sending the Huntsman. I don't know. Will we see the Huntsman in one of the future episodes? I don't know. Then we go to the moment with which I thought was brilliant, the Trolls Bridge, with these amazing characters, and they're kind of hard to understand at first. They seem typical trolls, not as menacing as the kind of troll stuff that we see in Tolkien's stories. They're a lot smaller, but they're definitely violent, and they're not too bright. But they do have a very good intuition about people that want to cross that bridge, and they don't trust Snow White's story that this Prince Charming, he's no one. They feel that there is more to this guy, and so of course it all ends in a big confrontation, and Prince Charming saves Snow White by by using this evil fairy dust, turning them into cockroaches, and stepping accidentally on one of them. And there's an interesting, there are two interesting things here. When we switch back to Storybrooke, we see the same bridge, and now it is called Toll Bridge, which I thought was hilarious. From Troll Bridge to Toll Bridge.
Well, and someone wrote the little R in there, like graffiti, right, to say troll.
And that's how Henry keeps calling the bridge. Perhaps it was Henry who did that, actually, now that I think of it. Because he keeps calling it the Troll Bridge. And he's like, well, of course, John Doe went to the Troll Bridge because he's looking for you, Mary Margaret. You are Snow White. And, well, he doesn't really say that, actually. He seems to be quite coy about what he reveals and what he doesn't reveal. And I keep wondering about his character. It's like, how does this kid know so much? And how does he know that this has all been real? And there's something interesting about that. There has to be a backstory to Henry, something we don't know yet. Because he's, you know, we know that he's Emma's child. He's Emma's child. So Snow White is his grandmother, right?
So but he's literally a kid from two worlds, because Emma's from the fairy tale world, and there's a dad from, you know, the real world. So maybe he can tell that something's off.
Ooh, yes.
Well, that's true. We don't know who his father is. And is that going to... I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I think that they seem to pass over that real quickly in the fourth episode that we're going to talk about in our next podcast. But there might be a backstory there too. Who knows? But he's strange. There must be more to his role. And why? Why does he, you know, keep telling certain tidbits and not revealing other stuff? Is there something? Is it dangerous to tell these people who they really are? Is it going to put them into cardiac arrest if he tells them, if he tells Mary Margaret that she's actually Snow White? I don't know and what the holdup is.
Where did he get the book? Who?
Yeah.
Snow White gave him the book.
Snow White gave him the book? Okay. Right. I'm just thinking, who filled his head with all this? How did he know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a big leap.
And so it's kind of weird to realize that Mary Margaret is actually his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't look like his grandmother. She's pretty young for her grandmotherly role.
Well, and you notice that Regina, the mother, she definitely has a dislike of Mary Margaret, but we don't really know why. I mean, besides the whole fairy tale thing, but in the real world, she's her son's teacher. But she has a very, you know, obvious distrust and dislike of her. And I just find that, again, I go back to how much does the queen know about all of this?
Yeah. She keeps kind of hinting at her former role when she says, tells Emma, because Emma is like, this is way too much coincidence that all of a sudden you have found David's former wife, you know, or wife. I assume they're still married. It's a little bit too convenient. And then she's like, well, do you think I put a spell on her?
Mm-hmm.
So they play with that.
I loved at the end where Regina tells Emma that the worst curse imaginable is not having someone be alone.
That is a very interesting remark. It's a whole that whole dialogue is I think has multiple layers.
It was, and to see, first of all, you see Emma's face, and this whole episode for her was incredible character development, because you know she was watching these, and you almost see her start to believe it. Could it be true?
Yeah.
You know, this happened. And what is true love? Did you hear Mary Margaret? The whole thing talks about true love. And I want the kids in the house. And, you know, on her first date, she's saying all this. And how she wants love at first sight. Yeah. And you see Emma start to believe it. And then for Regina to tell her the worst curse imaginable. And then you think, well, is that Regina's curse? I mean, is that it? That all these people, happily ever after, doesn't exist. They all have to be alone. And she, whether or not she knows or not, she takes pleasure in all of them being alone.
Yes.
And unhappy. And then she says at the very end of their conversation that for herself, that's why she's so happy that she was given Henry. Or, you know, has Henry. And I thought,
wait
from
a minute.
Last week, she killed Henry, you know, her father, Henry.
True.
And then this week she talks about how she's not alone because she has a new Henry. And I thought, oh, that's just creepy weird.
Interesting. Or could it be that, of course, she says, you know, the biggest curse is if you don't have someone. I think that is also the reason why she's so angry and perhaps even evil, because that, you know, someone has been taken away. Someone has been murdered in her life, and she blames Snow White for that murder. That's kind of what I think is if I put together all the elements from this episode, she must have lost someone special to her. And I don't think it's his father. It's her father, because she killed her father willingly. And it was already after she got mad at Snow White. It was just a consequence, basically, of her wanting to inflict this curse upon the fairy tale world and upon Snow White and all the other people. But something else must have happened. So I was wondering, she emphasizes how important it is for her to have Henry, and she's the stepmother. But what did she lose? Did she lose her child in the fairy tale world? Is that what Snow White took away? Is that why she's so adamant in the fairy tale world at killing Snow White and her unborn child? Or is what was taken away from her? Now, it can't be Snow White, because that's not her own child, because she's a stepmom. Huh. I don't know. There is something that happened there that has to do with this conversation.
My guess is going to be that Snow White and the Evil Queen, there's some sort of familial relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's stepmother, I'm not saying the queen is a stepmother, but somebody with her father and her mother. You know, there's going to be something that they were stepsisters or something like that.
That is interesting. In the chat room, someone says, you know, Regina could be upset about something that is related to their mother.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's Regina's mother or...
Maybe they have the same mother and the mother left... Regina and her father for Snow White's father, you know, and had Snow White and was a mother to Snow White.
So her mother favored Snow White.
And maybe the mother died in childbirth with Snow White, and therefore she accuses Snow White of murdering the mother.
Ooh, that is a good one. That would be totally almost a cliche, but very, very fitting in stories like this. Oh, I like that theory.
Very fairy tale.
Yes, definitely. So Snow White was the cause of her mom dying, and then and then perhaps her father Henry always liked Snow White more because Snow White reminded him of his wife. That happens all the time in stories like this.
And that would relate back to the original fairy tale of Snow White being more beautiful. Because
exactly.
She would be perceived as more beautiful if she reminded them of her mother.
And that is why the Evil Queen could kill Henry.
Right, because she would hold it against him.
Exactly. I think we cracked the code. I think we cracked it. If I were a writer, this is how I would write the storyline. It makes total sense.
And, you know, blood relations can sometimes do the most evil to each other.
Of course. Oh, and it would also explain why Snow White is younger, but not a generation younger than Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Oh, wow. And that is also why she hates Prince Charming, because Prince Charming also prefers Snow White, and by thereby affirming that she's more beautiful, and then he tries to kill the evil queen, and perhaps the Evil Queen inherited the throne and the power, and at one point in the pilot episode, the Prince Charming tells her, "You are no longer the queen. You have no power anymore." So perhaps Prince Charming marrying Snow White
merge their kingdoms.
Exactly. Perhaps Snow White was reestablished as from royal descent and was the true, whatever, you know, inheritant to the throne or something like that. So that could be something in there as well. I like this theory about Snow White and the Evil Queen being related, or at least having the same mother. Wow. There might be flaws in this theory, but I invite our listeners.
That would explain why, you know, why she wanted her dead so bad, and I've always been wondering about, you know, okay, why is she not the Evil Queen now? That would explain why Regina wasn't the queen anymore.
And why is that?
Well, just like, well, you just said it a few seconds ago. Perhaps having the prince marry Snow White, that merged their kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Some along those lines.
Oh, something like that. Yeah.
So she was even, besides being slighted, she's now out of power too, out of royalty power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is.
Well, that would totally give, I think, weight to all the actions that we've seen of the Evil Queen. Her killing her father, her hatred of Snow White, her clear wound somewhere of losing someone dear to her.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Wow.
Anyway. Wait until she finds out. If she finds out that Henry is then yeah. Snow White's grandson. That should
and
be
perhaps,
really
perhaps in the chat room again, a theory, perhaps Snow White was destined to be queen and Regina never was. And Regina took that away from Snow White. And then Snow White took it back or something like that.
Right.
Hmm. And perhaps Regina, or the Evil Queen being older, perhaps she was not really a stepmother to Snow White, but just an older sister who terrorized her her own sister. Hmm. Okay. Well, back to the story, because we need to wrap this up. We learn from this princess from the first scenes who comes back in the real world as Catherine. That Prince Charming is actually called David. It's interesting in the fairy tale world, he reveals his name to be James. In the real world, we get that revelation of what his name is from Catherine. She says his name is David Nolan. And I was like, interesting. First, I googled David Nolan, and you've got some writers, and there were no clues in there. I was like, eh, too generic of a name. And then I was like, okay, I think I get it. David is a royal name. It refers to King David, of course, from the Old Testament stories. So totally fitting. And David means beloved. Nolan is Gaelic, and it means champion or chariot fighter. And so beloved fighter, beloved champion, it's kind of the real world equivalent of Prince Charming. So I thought it was interesting to finally hear his name. And then well, I already mentioned this interesting necklace of Catherine, and of course it's not really made. There's no sign that says, "Oh, this is a silver pea," but it definitely looks like a tiny little pea. So I'm holding on to my theory there. And then I want to just go back to that conversation between Regina and Emma, because Emma is like, this is too convenient. You must be somehow involved in this whole scheme. And then Regina says, this town is bigger than you know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was foreshadowing.
Bigger than you know. So are there any secret areas?
And she says you can get lost in this
town.
It's
possible to get lost here. Of course, all the Lost fans are like, oh, they mentioned Lost. Oh. And then it's like, it's possible for bad things to happen. So it's almost as if there are areas that we're going to discover of Storybrooke that we haven't seen. And there might be a lot more to this little town. And apparently Regina knows her town very well. She's, of course, the mayor, so why shouldn't she? Then we have that curse of not having someone. I think we already went over that. And then we've got the ring from the fairy tale scenes. And then, in the end, Emma becomes Mary Margaret's roommate. Mm-hmm. At first, she's sleeping in the car, and she says, I'm not really the roommate kind of person. She's kind of a solo entrepreneur. She's always been alone. which of course is I think very important to her character. Being alone but still searching for company, and perhaps she is also searching for her Prince Charming. Who knows? But now she lives with Mary Margaret, and again, it's almost they also kind of feel like sisters in a way, or related, which is of course the case because Mary Margaret is Emma's mom, but she doesn't know yet. Wow! The moment Emma is going to discover all this, she's going to sit with Jiminy Cricket for months in therapy. Wow. Any last thoughts about this episode before we wrap up? No.
I expect things to keep I just don't know what to expect because they're already showing to me that they're trying to do things backwards.
Yes. And I'm just so mesmerized by this series. I've not had these kind of discussions since Lost. And I've seen this episode, this particular episode, four times. And every time I rewatch it, I see more details. And actually, I went back and rewatched the pilot episode as well. And I'm still blogging about it on our website, about little tidbits. And sometimes other people point me to interesting details that I missed. Just let me give you an overview of some stuff that I posted on. Again, the website is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. I also tweet those tidbits. So our Twitter feed is twitter.com/onceuponatimepc. PC stands for podcast. So in the first pilot episode, Jiminy Cricket's character, what's his name again? He is Hopper.
Archie Hopper.
Archie Hopper is walking a Dalmatian. And I was like, yeah, of course, Dalmatian, the 101 Dalmatians. It's Disney. It's not really a fairy tale. But and then other people like Mike Kuipers, who's one of our listeners who loves to speculate about this series as well. He's like, well, would that mean that we see Cruella de Vil in a future episode? I'm not sure about that, but it would be cool. Cruella, definitely the evil queen type of character. And this... I was like, well, wait a minute. I never realized that her last name, De Ville, actually is devil. Right. Never noticed that. It's like, oh, these funny jokes. There's another Easter egg in the pilot episode. Remember, we identified Grumpy, Leroy in Storybrooke. Mm-hmm. In the pilot episode, he's whistling the tune Whistle While You Work, mm-hmm, from the Disney movie. So I posted a YouTube video. Very funny. There are we'll talk about some more tidbits in about episode 4, which I thought was a fascinating episode as well, with Cinderella / Ashley. You know, Cinderella and then Ashley. It's brilliant. But there are some parallels between Emma and Cinderella. And so there are some wacky theories about that. Mike also... posted that it is very obvious. Why is Mary Margaret Blanchard an elementary school teacher? Because she took care of the dwarfs when she was still Snow White. So I thought it was brilliant. I just totally missed that. Of course. She's used to dealing with small people.
Oh, speaking, did you catch at the very beginning of this episode when, after she's on her date and she's walking back and Emma says, oh, are you on a date? And she says, what'd she say? I'm a teacher, not a nun.
Right.
And I thought that was funny because we had that discussion last time. Yes. Or the time before, yes, whether or not she was a nun.
Absolutely.
she's just, even up to this point, she's been so proper and saintly, and she even doesn't mind that Henry stole her credit card to go to Boston.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. She's almost a saint. She wears maybe his little cross and everything.
Maybe that's the grandmother type, though, that a grandmother, you know, would spoil their grandchild and not be cross with them, you know, for doing something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. And then, of course, there are a lot of references, or at least perceived references, to Lost. And actually, there is even a podcast that is dedicated to... Lost references in all sorts of movies and television series. And in their last episode, they had a segment about the lost moments or lost references in Once Upon a Time. The podcast is called Lost Mirror Moments. So just if you go to iTunes, just look for Lost Mirror Moments. In their last episode, they talk about... and they graciously also mention our little beginning podcast, which is always very cool if people do that. And on the website also posted some of the lost Easter eggs. And I invite you to go to the website and use Twitter to communicate with us. We also have a Facebook page. We love to hear your theories. And if you have more proof or wacky theories, or you have your own wacky theory, we'd love to hear from you. I'm still working on trying to find a way to bring in listener content and do perhaps a live call-in episode. There is this service called TalkShoe that I used to use in the past for podcasts, and TalkShoe does allow people to call in, and I think it would be very cool to have like a roundtable discussion about our theories. And we do have some time because the show is currently on a brief hiatus because it's the sweeps weeks where, you know, a lot of series go on a temporary hiatus, and so we'll have some time to talk about the next episode, of course. What's the next episode called?
Price of Gold.
Oh, yes, The Price of Gold, which is a fantastic one because it features my favorite evildoer now. It's Mr. Rumpelstiltskin. I've been practicing Rumpelstiltskin, and he is amazing in that episode. So we'll just take our time, and hopefully this podcast will also help our listeners to kind of bridge the gap now that we don't have a new television episode to look forward to. Wow, this was another hour-long episode. Can you believe it?
I can't, because there's just so much to talk about and so interesting.
It is fascinating. And again, I invite you to leave us your comments on our blog. Once more, the address is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. Follow us on Twitter. You definitely want to follow us on Twitter. It's Lost... Once Upon a Time PC. I'm turning into a Lost fan myself. I already was. So Once Upon a Time PC is the Twitter name. And on Facebook, just look for Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Lisa, where can people find your blog and more of your writings?
I am at soundmindandspirit.com, where I blog with my sister Shelley.
And what is your Twitter name?
Sound Mind Spirit.
Sound Mind Spirit. And David, yeah. Where can people find you? Your blog is still in the fairy tale world, right?
Yeah, it's still in the fairy tale world. Yes.
You've moved it into the hollow tree.
Well, my laptop's old enough, so it probably. Yeah. So I can be. I'm on just Twitter at David as David Handlos.
Very cool. And David and I are co-hosts of a series about Tintin. So if you like Tintin, it's a great movie. I just watched it today. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I want to see it another time because there are so many details in there. It's coming to the United States in towards the end of December, just before Christmas. Don't miss it. It might even carry the trailer for The Hobbit. We've speculated about that on our show about The Hobbit, because we also have a podcast about The Hobbit called Secrets of the Hobbit, also on iTunes and on sqpn.com. And soon, David, we will record an episode about Tintin in the Congo. Looking forward to that one as well. And so we're working our way through the adventures of Tintin, and we'll bring along our audience so that they are fully informed, very knowledgeable about this young Belgian reporter once the movies hits the American theaters. Wow, that's about all. You can follow me on Twitter as well. I'm Father Roderick, and I will see you next time on another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
And it's a wrap.